Now KRWG News, it's 7:45. Good morning, this is KC Counts. New Mexico has embarked on tough conversations about its reliance on oil and gas revenues and reducing methane emissions. The industry has agreed to work with the state, but some progressive and conservation groups are concerned about transparency. Progress Now New Mexico claims its investigation reveals that messaging in the state is coordinated through an anti-clean energy group based in Washington, D.C. The New Mexico News Connection's Roz Brown reports.
Lucas Herndon with Progress Now New Mexico says an out-of-state lobbying group called Power the Future is behind the Oil and Gas Association's messaging. He says environmentalists have been called radical by Power the Future's founder, which raises concerns about the group's agenda.
Who is this lobby group that's working in New Mexico on behalf of oil and gas companies and spending so much money and political will on influencing our state legislature and state government?
Prior to her election in 2016, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham promised to expand the state's oil-dependent economy. I'm Roz Brown.
What can be called yours? In this week's Desert Sage Commentary, Algernon de Massa explores plagiarism.
Many years ago, watching an evening of poetic monologues in a small theater on the East Coast, I gasped out loud as I realized why the disjointed yet beautiful phrases I was hearing sounded so familiar. A decade earlier, two of those monologues had appeared in my high school's literary magazine. They had been submitted by an honors student, and they caused a stir at the time. No one had heard this student express herself that way before. Well, now I knew why. The poetry had been written by theater artists Joseph Chaykin and Sam Shepard. Is plagiarism wrong? That's the question taken up last week by philosopher Agnes Callard in The Point magazine online. She opens her piece with a disturbing childhood experience in which she was publicly humiliated by her first grade teacher. The teacher had asked the children to write a poem, and she had happily written down a beloved Shel Silverstein piece she had memorized. And then she got called out in front of everyone for plagiarism. Callard wrote that, at the age of six, quote, "I thought that when I succeeded in memorizing the poem, it became mine," unquote. Well, was she wrong? What makes a thought or particular arrangement of words or musical notes sufficiently original that we deserve to call it ours? The notion of intellectual property ostensibly protects compensation and credit. It provides legal recourse to publishers in the event I start selling copies of The Guardians as my own original novel and not John Grisham's. Plagiarism norms govern student grades, assure fair competition, and promote scholars. Callard argues, however, that these conventions are suffused with unexamined moral attitudes, protecting idea creators, not readers. We are taught to regard plagiarism as stealing, but it may violate relationships in other, more harmful ways. What I discovered in that theater long ago was akin to discovering someone had lied to me about something personal. Strangely, I felt misled and violated. Yet we have to ask, was anyone harmed? Experience is personal, yet inspiration is shared, it's communal. While it may feel truthful to describe an understanding or experience as mine, property does not seem a fitting metaphor for explaining why personal expression and communication matter. A year ago, an up-and-coming poet named Ailey O'Toole admitted to lifting lines from several other poets, including Rachel McKibbins, from whom O'Toole had lifted material McKibbins wrote about surviving a violent childhood. McKibbins wrote this in reaction, quote, "Who are we if not our words? Who are we if we are not allowed to tell our own stories? I survived my own vanishing. I arrive in my art. That is where I map my forgiveness, my sorrow, my joys." With the weekly Desert Sage Commentary, I'm Algernon de Massa.
Algernon de Massa's opinions are his own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRWG or NMSU. A second-half slump and the Aggies drop one to George Mason in the Cayman Islands Classic Wednesday night. George Mason never led until Jamal Hartwell drained a three-pointer with 6 minutes 48 seconds remaining. The teams then swapped the lead until a free throw with 2:07 left gave the Patriots the lead for good. The final was 68-64. Jabari Rice had 19 points for the Aggies. Trevelyn Queen had 12 and Johnny McCants had 11. The Aggies are now 4-4 and will be looking to settle the score with I-10 rival UTEP on Tuesday night at home. For KRWG Public Media, this is Casey Counts, and you can find more news anytime at krwg.org.